This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جماعة المسلمين, all praises due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we send our greetings, our salutation, our love, our praises to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jamaatul Muslimin, I know last week I promised that inshallah over the next few weeks we will be doing a series on Hajj. And it was our intention. Unfortunately, as we know, the Muslim world has been gripped by an incident where our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was abused and insulted, and this resulted in protests and violence throughout the world. And many of the masajid have agreed to talk on this topic, and inshallah, we will continue with the Hajj program. I say maaf if you came for that purpose, but inshallah, we'll receive benefit from this topic. We will discuss this important event that has taken place. As I mentioned, over the past 2 weeks or so, a film was released. I assume we are all aware where the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is insulted by such terrible things that are said about him, and he's depicted in such an untrue and insulting and abusive manner. A slandering of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this became even worse and aggravated by the response of the Muslim Ummah. In particular, that hits home here in Cape Town was that a suicide bomber blew up a car in Afghanistan, Kabul, which killed 8 South Africans. And therefore it affects us. Not only is it our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's affected, but the Ummah and the reaction of the Ummah. And it's under the guise of freedom of speech that the world uses this excuse to say anything, to use any method, to slander whoever and whatever they want. And we know, and there's not a discussion about the freedom of speech versus Islamic rights, but we know, as many of you might have received the message, if you insult or say anything critical about the Jewish people, then you're anti-Semitic. If you say anything critical about a black person, then you are a racist. If you say anything about a Muslim or the Prophet ﷺ, then it's freedom of speech. We know in Islam that with every freedom, with every right and haq Allah gives you, there is an amana and a trust. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you speak only when you have something good to say. That your speech can harm each other, even the non-Muslims. You speak well and you should not speak ill of one another, even the non-Muslims. This, of course, this concept of the freedom of speech is used, unfortunately, to harm the Muslims in certain events. And this is a classic example of how our ummah, and there are those who use these false notions to cause insult. The only purpose is to insult and to enrage the Muslim Ummah. And this is an open act of aggression. But the people who are doing this, they're not doing it for the sake of art or for the sake of bringing about a dialogue or a discussion about the Rasul ﷺ. If you want to discuss our Nabi ﷺ, you have some questions, marhaban. If anyone comes to you and says, I want to ask you about your Prophet, his wives, or whatever aspect, you say, Jazakallah for asking me about my religion. Let's sit down. Our ulama explained everything. In Islam, there is no concept of hiding anything away. So if you want to find out and you are curious, marhaban, we invite you, come. We are eager to discuss. But if your intention is to insult and to abuse and to slander anybody, not only Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but any human being, any individual, then we say that this is an act of aggression, and particularly against the messenger of this ummah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this act has caused so much pain and anger in the Muslim ummah. Every single Muslim, he holds the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dear to his heart. It is part of your iman that we love our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you insult someone that is dear to you, continuously and in this horrible manner, calling him a barbarian, calling him a murderer, wa'iyadhu billah, homosexual, a pedophile, this is the things they are saying, what is the response you expect? So how should we respond with these horrible, insulting, abusive methods? They want us to act violently and incorrectly. So inshallah, we will discuss how we should react. Because the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, a man came to him and he said, Ya Rasulullah, give me advice. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I advise you, do not be angry. He said, Ya Rasulullah, give me another advice. He says, I advise you not to be angry. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam repeated this. Don't fight, don't react out of anger. In jihad, a Muslim would be fighting with a non-Muslim. And then that person would insult him or spit in his face and the Muslim would leave him. And they said, why would you leave this man? He said, because if I harmed him or I killed him, I would do out of it out of anger and not love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should be cautious and we should be calculating and we should act in a manner in accordance with Islam and in accordance with the way the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself would have reacted. And we should bear a few things in mind. We should remember a few things and take from the history of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and what the Quran teaches us. Firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in Surah Al-Anbiya, the Surah of the Prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad, indeed, many messengers were mocked before you, but those who mocked were surrounded by that with which they used to mock. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving comfort to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The abuse and the insult of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is not something new. It happened in his time. He was called a poet, he was called a madman, he was called a sha'ir, a kadhab, a liar. He was called a person possessed by jinn and the shayateen. This is all in the Quran. His friends and his family, his close family, Abu Lahab, his uncle, used to insult him with this method. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah that Muhammad, you are not the first messenger to go through this. In fact, if you look at the Old Testament, you will find that in the Old Testament, what the Jews and the Christians say about the Anbiya, they say, وَعِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ نَبِي نُوحُ was an alcoholic drunkard. وَعِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ they say Nabi Sulaiman fell into kufr and shirk because he was misled by his wives. They say, وَعِيَّذُ بِاللَّهِ Nabi Lut committed act of incest sexual interaction with his two daughters. This is what they say about the Anbiya in their Bible. This is how they insult the Anbiya, and the Quran mentions that some of the Anbiya, their prophets, they even killed. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is part of the sunnah, the part of the method, the part of the trial that you expect to get when you're a messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is part of this long line of messengers. He is one of that great fraternity of Anbiya. You will go through that hardship like your brothers of the prophets did. So Allah is giving the Nabi some reassurance that this test and trial is part of prophethood. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions specific ayat which gives us comfort and gives the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam comfort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly, we will suffice you against the scoffers. Those who mock you and insult you, I, Allah, takes a promise that I will protect you and I will deal with them. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for he who hates you, he will be cut off from all good and all khair. For those who openly hate you and attack you, I will see to them. And in another ayah, Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَنَعْنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Verily those who annoy, who abuse, who insult, who annoys Allah and His Messenger, Allah has cursed them in this dunya and in the akhirah. And Allah has prepared for them a severe humiliating torment. So we say to these people who are writing these things, who are drawing these pictures, who are insulting the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, many of them are afraid. They do something and they know how the ummah is going to react, whether correctly or incorrectly. They know if they cause a stir, the ummah is going to be enraged. The fatwa on Salman Rushdie to execute him is there for decades. He's in hiding. The people who produce this movie, they are in hiding. They fear the ummah, the 1.5 billion Muslims that they made enemies of. But we say to them, do not fear us. The 1.5 billion Muslims and the countries that follow, La ilaha illa Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our wealth, our children, our power is insignificant compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have made war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have taken an enemy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they narrated that amongst the Quraysh, there were those who used to hate the deen, but there were those who were specifically abusive and personally attacked the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Lahab, and These people who personally sought to insult or humiliate or torment the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, all of them received a humiliating and evil end in this dunya, and we can only imagine what's happening to them in the akhirah. Ayat are revealed about Abu Lahab, Abu Jahl, Al-Walid bin Mughayr al-Makhzumi. In the Quran, Allah curses them. So every time 1.5 billion Muslims read, their curse is increased. And the Sahaba mentioned in the times of jihad, when they would fight with the non-Muslims, if ever the non-Muslims started being abusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they would feel some form of relief, because they would say, we know now that victory is close at hand, because then they've incurred the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say to these people, beware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not today, but tomorrow or the days after, Allah will send His torment, His angels, unless you make tawbah and retract what you said. Thirdly, we need to bear in mind, while we are angry and we are upset, we need to remember that these insults, they do not diminish the stature, the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is like someone, the ulama says, and this is in the past, they mention it's like someone trying to spit at the sun. It does nothing to diminish the greatness and the brightness of the sun. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest and most loved of Allah's creations. No person, no angel, no jinn, no other creation is loved by Allah as Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is the Imam of the Prophets. On the night of Mi'raj, he led all the Anbiya in Salah, the greatest man to walk this earth. These insults don't even come close to the dust on his feet. He will be the first to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, the first to enter Jannatul Firdaus. He will be the only prophet, the only person that will be given the right of intercession on the day of Qiyamah. This is called the Maqam Mahmud, the praised station. After every adhan, we recite the dua, Allahumma rabba hadhi da'wati tamma. In that dua, we make dua for the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to receive this great station so that he may intercede on our behalf. All the other prophets will say, myself, myself. It will only be the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will be given the permission to intercede with Allah on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah will be angry like never before. This is who Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is. He completed his mission. When he left, his mission was complete. He was one man alone. When he left, we have 1.5 billion Muslims. Today alone, how many Muslims will be? Every salah we make, we send salawat and salam to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There is no one in the dunya, no personality in the history of mankind who received this kind of honor, this kind of love and stature. In fact, the way, look at the things that you do in your life. We are not the best of Muslims, but we do things, we eat with our right hand. How we use the toilet, how we enter the masjid, how we make salah, how we dress. They say, the greatest form of flattery, if you really want to flatter someone, you will imitate him. By imitating somebody, acting like him, talking like him, that's the greatest form of flattery. You have 1.5 billion Muslims trying to imitate this man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No other prophet, and all praise and peace and salam to them, but no other prophet received this honor like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore it is a fact that he was rated the number one most influential man of all time. A study was done, a non-Muslim did the study, and he said the person who had the greatest impact on the world was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fourthly, these lies that continue to be told about the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as we mentioned, this is not done in the spirit of academic discussion. They don't want to have a dialogue with the Muslims and say, you know, there's some aspects of the deen I don't understand, your religion is a bit strange to me, I want you to explain it to me. No, it's not done to find the truth, but it is done to cause anger, to cause the Muslims to act in a certain way to make us look bad. It is done to cause harm. The person who did this, he is a convicted fraudster. He went to prison for fraud. And in his daily life, when he's not producing forms against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he produces pornography. So this person has no deen in him, he has no religion, he has no good in him, he does not desire good. His only duty, his only desire is to cause anger and hatred. And therefore we know his intentions is completely wrong. So the lies that he tells, like we said, in this movie there's so many lies. And the reoccurring lies that they say is that the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, number one, is a tyrant. He's a terrorist. He's a barbarian. He's a murderer. Let's see what the Quran and what history says about the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah describes the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Surah Al Imran, and by the mercy of Allah, you dealt with them gently. And had you been severe or harsh-hearted, they would have broken away from about you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is described in the Quran, that you are someone that is gentle in your treatment of people, Muslims and non-Muslims. And the greatest weapon, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's greatest weapon in da'wah was not his sword, but was his akhlaq. Most of the people that entered into Islam, they entered into Islam because of his great character. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again in Surah Ali Imran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have not sent you only as a mercy for the alameen, for all of mankind, for all of jinn, for all the animals and the plants, for everything in the universe. You are a mercy for everything that I have created. This is what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is described in the Quran. And the duty Allah has given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No way does it say you must be a tyrant or a dictator or a terrorist, but you are someone that is soft-hearted, a mercy, kind, gentle person. We see how the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated his enemies. And this is in history books. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, they told the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't you curse the infidels? Make a dua against them. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a dua, Allah accepts. Why do you not curse them? Ask them to be destroyed. Like Nabi Nuh made dua, destroy these people. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I have not been sent to curse people, but I have been sent as a mercy unto all of mankind. The people of Taif, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she asked the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was the worst day that you've ever experienced? And he says, the day I went to Taif. When I went there to give them da'wah, after my people in Makkah rejected the deen, I was alone, I went to Taif alone. And the people started teasing me, laughing at me, making fun of me. And they told their children to throw me with stones until I was bleeding and I had to run away. And Taif is in the mountains. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to run and hide for cover because they wanted to kill him. And then Allah sent Jibreel. And Allah told Jibreel, give the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the permission that if he asks, I will let this mountain fall on top of these people. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. I hope that inshallah these people from their children will become Muslimin. And today we know that Taif is a completely Muslim city. Subhanallah. On his worst day, on the saddest moment in his life, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mercy for his people. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered into Makkah, after he was expelled, after his sahaba, his friends, his family were killed, after he was abused and tortured, after they sent armies to attack him and tried to kill him, he came back to Makkah without any fighting or any violence, and he said to my enemies, you hated me for 20 years, you tried to kill me, you tried to curse me, abuse me, attacked me, harmed my family. What do you think I will do to you now that you are under my mercy? And they said, yeah, Muhammad, you are merciful. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes, you are free. I forgive all of you. I pardon all of you. Is this the act of a tyrant? Is this the act of a terrorist? Is this someone that is brutal and a murderer? No, this is in history. We talk about history. Non-Muslims and Muslims agree. These are the facts. We go further and we talk about the hypocrites of Medina, those who insulted the wife of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who attacked, who used and to bring about the secrets, they would expose the secrets of Medina, those who used every method to undermine the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses them in the Quran and says, ya Muhammad, even if you make dua for them 70 times for me to forgive them, I will not forgive them. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has not forbidden me to make dua for them more than 70 times. So I will make dua for them even more than 70 times. Subhanallah. Was he oppressive to women? This is another one of those lies that continuously is told about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let's see what his wives say about him. Let's hear from the wife. I ask you, if you want to know what kind of husband you are, ask your wife, what would you say about me? Khadija radiallahu anha, she says, the first person to become Muslim was Khadija. And when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told her that I received revelation, she had no doubts. Even though the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had some doubts, she had no doubts. And this is what she said. She told the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, don't worry. For by him who is dominion over Khadija sold by Allah, I hope that you are the prophet of this nation. Allah would never humiliate you. For you are good to your relatives. You are true to your word. You speak the truth. You help those who are in need. You support the weak person. You feed the guest. And you answer the call of those who are in distress. Anyone in hardship, you support them. This was before the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became a prophet. This was his character. His wife says, you are the best person I possibly have ever met. Therefore, if you are meant to be a prophet, I have no doubts that you will be a prophet. Aisha radiallahu anhu says, when the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her, in a long hadith, am I as good to you as the most perfect husband in that time, Abu Zar? It's a story like Romeo, you know? So she says, no. You are dearer to me than my father and my mother, and you are even more loyal and loving as a husband than the best possible husband. This is what the wives of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say. Where is the oppression? Where is the abuse? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gives advice to his ummah. The best of you are those who are best to their wives. And I am the best to my wife. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in another hadith, the most treasured thing in this dunya is a pious wife. And in his final sermon on the day of Arafah, when the ummah, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam only made one hajj. He was only on Arafah once. And that was just a few months before he passed away. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions in this khutbah, I know my time is near. I will not get a chance to see you again. All the Muslim tribes came. So this was what they call the khutbatul wida, the farewell sermon, the last major khutbah the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave. And in that khutbah, when he had the ummah there before him, what did he say? He said, treat your women well and be kind to them, for they are your partners and committed helpers. This is the advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives his ummah. Where is the oppression? Where is the tyrant? Where is the womanizer? And then therefore, we ask, what is our duty? Why we should love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah describes the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed, there has already come to you a messenger from yourselves. Burdensome, mighty and burdensome to him is whatever distresses you. Whatever harms this ummah is what bothers the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he is most eager for your welfare. To the believers, he's constantly compassionate, constantly merciful. This is how the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam views his ummah. Whatever burdens you, troubles you, is hard for you, it's hard for him. And he just wants what's good for his ummah. The Prophet ﷺ is mentioned in the Quran that the Prophet is closer to the believers than their own selves. And the Nabi ﷺ, as I mentioned, on the day of Qiyamah, when everyone will reject one another, the mother will leave her children, the husband will leave his wife, even the Anbiya, Nabi Ibrahim, Nabi Musa, Nabi Isa, the great Anbiya, when their people will say, oh Ibrahim, oh Musa, intercede with Allah on our behalf, what would they say? Nafsi, nafsi, myself. I can't be concerned about anybody but myself, because I have never seen our Rabb, our Lord Allah, so angry as he is today. And they would run to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, intercede on our behalf. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every prophet was granted a special dua. They used it in their lifetime. I kept mine for Qiyamah. And when the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is granted the permission to make this dua, Allah will say, okay, Muhammad, raise your head. What do you want me to ask of me? I will grant it. And what will the Nabi Sallam's dua be? My ummah, my people. This is his dua for us. And every single Muslim will be in this dua. Allahu Akbar. This is the Nabi Sallam. So why should we love the Prophet Sallam? The Nabi Sallam says, none of you will be a true believer until I am more beloved to him than his wealth, his family, and even himself. Because this is the Nabi Sallam. Finally, point six, loving him entails following him. So now that we love the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we want to know, how do we respond? How do we react? How do we put this love into action? Allah says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. Allah says, say to the people, if you should love Allah and His Messenger, then follow me, follow Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and then Allah will love you. Your obedience to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will show you your love for him. Love for the Prophet ﷺ shows you through the obedience of his sunnah. So for us, we need to ask ourselves, do we really love him? Do we at least know who he was? Have we studied his history? Have we studied his seerah? Have we studied his biography? If not, then learn. There are many classes around. There are many masajid willing to teach. There are many books available on the internet, so easy. Your first duty, if you want to respond to this movie, you want to respond about how, what kind of evil person your prophet was, if someone asks you, you need to educate yourself. The first step is, and this is the test, if you really love the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, put half an hour a day aside to learn about this great man. And then, do we obey his commandments and stay away from what he prohibited? It's no use. We say we love the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and we become angry if you insult him. But we ourselves, we cheat one another in our business transactions. We are against his sunnah, abusive to our wives and our children. Against his sunnah, we tell lies. Against his sunnah, we do all the things that he forbid for us to do, and we do nothing that he encourages. So where's the love? This is the test. Do we stay away from innovation in the sunnah? Do we have any of his akhlaq, his great character? Allah describes the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you are on the highest level of character. If you love the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you will implement that in your heart. Implement that in your life. So this is how you determine your love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. By following him. By becoming part of this ummah. By being a follower of his sunnah. And that is why, unfortunately, the greatest harm. You know, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will not be offended. Will not be hurt by what he sees the non-Muslims do to him. But what hurts him is when he sees that his Muslim ummah, his followers, disobeying his commandments. This will hurt him so much more. Our actions is so much more insulting to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam than what the kuffar are doing. And that is why our duty and our response to this insult is to follow his sunnah. So we ask, what would the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam do if he was here today? And they insulted him and this movie came out. How do we respond? The first thing is, he would command us to use all the possible peaceful means to oppose this insult. We write letters to the newspapers. We write letters to our politicians. We use whatever methods that is peaceful, that is merciful. We use these methods to oppose. We show our mercy, but we show that we are not happy. We boycott whatever products if we can. We turn away from these kind of the, if there are someone insults the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a newspaper, we don't buy from that newspaper anymore. So don't go on and watch this video. The more we watch this video, the more we are increasing its popularity. We stay away from these things. We disassociate ourselves from that. For those of us who have the ability, the wealth, we should spend and invest in projects to say, while you are investing in slandering the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we will invest our time and our wealth to give the true reflection of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We should not give in to violence and lawlessness. How is it possible that we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Quran, it is haram for you to kill anybody or to harm anybody with no haq. If you have a reason to do so, if you have no reason, then you have no right to do it, whether Muslim or non-Muslim. How do you kill somebody that has no involvement in this affair? It's not the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In fact, in his last sermon, he said that the lives of the people are like the sacred day of Hajj. They are sacred and their property is sacred. Their blood is sacred. You cannot harm these things like the Hujjaj on Hajj. So this acts of terrorism, the acts of violence, while it comes from love, it is not in accordance of the sunnah. And it brings down the greatness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Therefore, we should use our utmost with peaceful and calculated means to give the true reflection of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But ultimately, the greatest form of protecting the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as we mentioned and as the Quran says, the greatest way to promote this deen is through our akhlaq. If each and every one of us shows a completely opposite image of what the media shows of the Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam or of the Muslimin, if they say, if your neighbor says, you know, the media says that you Muslims are abusive and violent and evil, but you have been my neighbor for 10 years. I've only seen good in you. In my times of difficulty, you've been there for me. I've seen you good to your wives, good to your children. You say, this is the teaching of my Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Our akhlaq is how we will defend the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And therefore, each and every one of us must say, I want to take one aspect of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, his generosity, his bravery, his mercy, and I want to implement that in my life. That is the greatest response we could possibly have when we want to defend the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we send our love and our greetings and salutation to the best of Allah's creation, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to his family and his companions, and to all those of this ummah that follow him in this deen. And we send, of course, to the Hujjaj, Hajj and Mabrura. We ask Allah to grant them an accepted Hajj, to return them safely with all these sins that is forgiven. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in wa salamun ala al-mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Shukran, Sheikh. I just want to make an announcement that we have one of our members leaving on Sunday for Hajj, inshallah. Mr. Yusuf Abbas and his wife will be leaving at half past 11 on Sunday morning. And as normal, he would like you to make dua for him and give ma'af. And we wish him everything of the best. Allah makbul his ibadah, inshallah.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمد ربي ونستعينك ونستغفرك ونتوب إليك ونثني عليك الخير كله نشكرك ولا نكفرك ونخلع ونترك من يفجرك اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمد عبد الله ورسوله أرسله هاديا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فصلوات الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه تسليما كثيرا أما بعد يا عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فقال جل جلاله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى في شأن النبي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.
اللهم صل وسلم وزد وادم وانعم وتفضل وبارك بجلالك وكمالك على زين عبادك واصرف عبادك سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وصحبه وسلم وسلم ورضي الله تبارك وتعالى عن كل الصحابة أجمعين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ولي للمتقين وأشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله سيد الأولين والآخرين رحمة الله للعالمين صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فاتقوا الله واتقوا يوما ترجعون فيه إلى الله واعلموا أن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد ألا وصلوا وسلموا على خير الورى النبي المصطفى والحبيب المرتضى كما أمر الله تعالى فقال إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى اللهم صل وسلم على هادي البشير وسراج المنير نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وصحبه أجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذلة الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين واجعل هذا بلدا آمنا وسائر البلاد المسلمين اللهم اشفي مرضانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا اللهم اشفي مرضانا وارحم موتانا وأصلح أحوالنا اللهم انصر إخواننا في فلسطين وصوماليا وليبيا وإيراك وسوريا وفلسطين وأفغانستان وفي كل مكان يا عزيز يا رحمن الرحيم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمركم بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون وأقم الصلاة.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله
صلى الله عليه وسلم
حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم سوي صفوف رحمكم الله الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدع اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله نستغفر الله العظيم نستغفر الله العظيم نستغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم ونتوب إليك ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة إنك أنت التواب الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام فحينا ربنا بالسلام وأدخلنا الجنة برحمتك دار السلام تباركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا
غفرانك ربنا وإليك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم واغفر لنا ذنوبنا وذنوب والدينا ومشائخنا وجميع المؤمنين أجمعين اللهم ربنا تقبل منا صلاتنا وصيامنا وقيامنا وركوعنا وسجودنا وتسبيحنا ودعاءنا وجميع أعمالنا اللهم تقبل منا القليل وسامحنا بالكثير ولا تؤاخذنا بتقصير اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من الراشدين واجعلنا من المتقين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين اللهم اكتب السلامة والصحة والغنيمة والعافية لنا ولهم ولعبيدك الحجاج والغزاج والمسافرين والمرابطين والحاضرين في برك وبحرك وزوجك أمت محمد رسول الله اللهم اجعلهم حجا مبرورا وسعيهم سعيا مذكورا وذنبهم ذنبا مغفورا وعملا عملا صالحا مقبولا وتجارة لن تبور يا نور النور يا لما ما في الصدور أخرجنا يا الله من الظلمات إلى النور ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين صلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا محمد نبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد بحيرنا وهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحياتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعوانا والحمد لله رب العالمين